Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean. Guys, I'm going to give them a little bit of inside baseball here. We had to re-record this open.
Yeah, we did.
We got like 12 minutes in, and there was, I think your mic was
coming out of the thing
a little bit. It's not fucked. It just was coming out of the...
Well, it was fucked at the moment because it did not capture all my brilliant witticisms.
I know. We were having a good conversation.
We were talking about how we went to see Batman Returns. So Fathom Events is doing this thing where they're showing all of the old Batman movies. And old, by old, I mean Batman 89, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin. So, you know, there's still time to catch Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Which we're going to do Batman Forever.
We are going to do, because I have a special place in my heart for Batman Forever, even though it's terrible. So, but I'm not seeing Batman and Robin. That can go fuck itself. but there's still time, right? Yes.
Okay. So, I always get mixed up when I can't, Clooney.
Batman Forever is Val Kilmer.
Right.
And Batman and Robin is Clooney. So yeah, if you are in any way interested, check your Fathom Events thing and check that out. But anyway, so we went to see Batman Return, and I love that movie. Just absolutely fucking love that movie so much. We weren't able to see Batman 89 due to some scheduling shit, but we saw Batman Returns, and it was just so great to see in the big screen. And what I was talking about was how on the way home, we were chatting in the car before we got caught in a fucking torrential downpour.
Yeesh.
That I really I've grown to appreciate Michael Keaton's job as Bruce Wayne and Batman a lot more.
Yeah.
Than I did when I was younger. And I think it's because I like that he kind of leans into the fact that Bruce Wayne and Batman are very fucked up characters, but he leans into it in a way of like, not, oh my God, I'm so sad. In a way of like, I'm going to fucking just ride this train until I can't ride it anymore. He kind of plays him with a little bit of a smile and a wink.
Right.
Like this Batman has a smidge of a sense of humor. And it's very dry, but it's there.
Well, also too, I feel like the way that he kind of portrays him is a way that if Batman was a real person, like an actual, like, you know, was just like a rich guy that took this path. Like, this is how he could actually react in day to day. And I feel that there's enough of those quirks in his performance that stand out that you're like, oh yeah, I could get that. Like we were referencing in Batman 89, where's that scene where Bruce Wayne and
the Joker,
whatever, he confronts Bruce Wayne.
He's in Kim Basinger's office and like, and he just goes fucking crazy. Like, he grabs that poker.
Yeah, and he's like, come on, let's get nuts, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, it's really, but that's something where it's like, I could see a Bruce Wayne, the person, kind of just losing his shit just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
like
where,
a lot more.
Yeah, but not always just being like, you know, because we obviously look, Kevin Conroy, Batman in the Batman animated series.
Oh, so good.
Was so good, but he really played, Bruce Wayne. It's just like, hey, I'm a millionaire.
He did.
And, you know, Batman is just like, you know, but.
Yeah. And he did. And there's parts in the animated series, especially some of those earlier ones, where Batman definitely has a little bit of a sense of humor. And again, it's very dry. It is there. I feel that though kind of gets lost the more towards quote realism that we go, and then you just have like constantly angsty Batman,
right?
Who doesn't have the ability to smile? Who doesn't have the ability to joke whatsoever? He's just this basic, like, just he's constantly like a goth kid. He's just always brooding.
Well, that was the problem with Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
is that he played both Bruce Wayne and Batman as such a fucking grumpy motherfucker.
I know.
And I understand, like, yes, I don't want Batman out there being all fucking happy-go-lucky.
I'm not asking for Adam West Batman.
Right.
Right. But I that's why I think that this Keaton Batman really works so well, is he can pull off those slightly comedic lines. Like, he meets Selina Kyle when he's Batman, and then he meets her again in Max Schreck's boardroom. And he's like, oh, you know, Christopher Walken introduces them. He's like, oh, this is my assistant, Selina. And he goes, oh, we've met. And she goes, oh, we have? And he goes, oh, I mistook me for someone else. And he pulls that line off.
Yeah.
But I don't think Christian Bale's Batman or Ben Affleck's Batman would be able to pull that fucking shit off.
Yeah, there's
It would just land like a thud, but Keaton pulls it off.
There's a certain amount of charm
that
comes with that.
There is.
The thing that, I guess the knock against Keaton is that as far as a physical specimen goes, you know, he's not quite what you would imagine Batman to be.
No, I mean,
you know, really, at all, I guess.
He'd be Christian Bale ripped.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. But he's just got just enough of, but when he's in the suit, I mean, it's the thing. Okay, he's in the suit, though. I'm totally cool with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing. That's like, I don't even, it doesn't even faze me, you know,
no,
when he's
on the
like, oh, that's Batman. You know, that's Michael Keaton. It's like, I don't give a fuck, it's Batman.
That's a really great suit. I wish they kind of would have combined Keaton's suit with a little bit more of Bale's suit, like, because Bale's suit has the ability you can turn your neck
because
it's got that thing. I kind of wish they would have just put that part together, but other than that, I love the way, like, I love this movie. I love the way Batman looks. I love the way Catwoman looks. Penguin looks fucking amazing. Like, it's really fantastic. And then that's also my favorite on-screen Batmobile.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. And then we've seen it in person a couple times.
Right.
And I don't know if you were standing over by it when the guy was talking, our tour guy.
I don't know if what was it when we went to the DC one?
Yeah, no, the last time we went with your mom, the Warner Brothers lot, and then you walk into that fucking warehouse and it's just all the Batmobiles and like the Batwing and the Batbike and the whatever, just hanging out. And we were over there, and the reason that, you know, he drives it and then like the roof kind of slides back, right? It slides so he can get out. I guess the reason that they did that is because when they built the Batmobile, they forgot to put a way out.
Right.
They didn't build a
door. No, I was there for that. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, yeah. So they didn't build a door, and they're like, fuck, what are we going to do? We got to use it tomorrow. So they cut the roof off and made it slide. That's why it does that.
But it makes,
they fucking forgot to put
it. But it fucking works.
It looks great. It's perfect. It's a happy accident.
Yeah. No, it's that's the aesthetic in that movie too. Like,
oh well, I like that era of Tim Burton, like the Edward Scissorhands and the stuff he gets, like when he gets into like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and shit. That's a little bit much for me, but that like super dark Art Deco-ish fucked upness that he did, I love that shit. And I watched that movie and I'm like, my god, no wonder, like, it's so dark, this is what everything looks like, it's, you know, never not night or never not snowing or whatever. And then we have Batman and Catwoman, two of my favorite characters of all time, on a dance floor to Susie and the Banshees.
I never realized that until you pointed it out.
Yeah, it's Susie and the Banshees,
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, Max Schreck is throwing a fucking banger of a party. Let's just say that.
He really
is. Because he's got Susie and the Banshees playing. You've got people out there wearing masquerade masks that are like whole buildings on their face.
Oh my god. Line when Danny DeVito comes up in the stupid duck. He's like, oh, you all get to dress like idiots.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
Yeah. There's some great stuff in that movie. Like, just when you kind of think of the logic, it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I mean, because there's a the Penguin army is so fucking stupid.
Well, because
it is so dumb, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going with it.
Alfred, who's just basically like, hey, I'm gonna watch a bunch of TV and like call in directions and stuff,
which is pretty much
what he does. I mean, that's what Alfred does, and they're like, he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna redirect all these Penguin commandos. Because the idea is that the idea was at one point, the Penguin's like, the fucking I've had it, all these fucking Penguins, I'm gonna send them out to the center of Gotham Square or whatever.
And they're gonna blow up some people.
And they're gonna blow up 100,000 people of Gotham just by shooting their missiles.
Sure.
Where? I don't know. I don't know exactly where they were supposed to shoot.
But at Gotham.
At Gotham, but they were going to kill everybody.
Sure.
Right. And so Alfred and Batman redirect these penguins back to the zoo.
Right.
And the penguin's like, what the fuck? And Batman and him start fighting. And Penguin act, because Batman's got control of these penguins. And Penguin grabs the control and hits the button. And the penguins start shooting their missiles. But they all just start kind of, they don't all shoot at Penguin. They just start blowing up the zoo.
They literally just shoot them. In no real fact.
But they mostly just blow up the zoo.
Yeah, well, they're not, that's the thing. They're just all standing there and the missiles just sort of go everywhere.
But I was like, well, what was the plan that Batman was going to have? It was like, I'm just going to move all these penguins in here. And
I don't know if he had one. That's the thing. That really comes off as he doesn't have a plan. And then he kind of just stands there. Like when the penguin falls down, there's like, as Max Schreck is getting out of the little cage. I mean, obviously, spoilers for Batman Returns, which came out in 1992. But if you haven't seen it by now, that's kind of your problem. So
yeah, just kind of dealing with
it. Yeah, just kind of deal with that one for like a almost 30-year-old movie at this point. So there's this huge, very long scene where like Christopher Walken's like trying to get this monkey to come over so he can get keys.
Monkey assistance.
And then he gets the keys, and then he gets out, but then he falls down. There's like this very long drawn-out scene. And every time they cut back to Batman, they do it twice where they cut back to him, and he's just standing there watching this shit blow up. And he's just like, duh, like the whole, and I'm like, do it twice. And I was like, why?
It's like, do something or whatever.
Yeah. And it takes him a while to finally like get down to where he's supposed to be. And I don't know why. It's just, it's a very weird movie. I just love it so much.
Yeah. Well, they're just also like, I mean, it's crazy violent. It's, you know,
Batman kills like three people.
Batman kills a bunch of motherfuckers like on purpose.
On purpose.
There's that one part where he's just like, I'm going to start the Batmobile and there's a guy behind it. I know it. Burn.
Yes, that's right. That guy who's like breathing fire, he like lights that guy up. And then the other guy, he's just like, hey, have a bomb. And the Batman fucking smiles at him and shoves him into a fucking sewer before he explodes.
Well, Batman's killing him. He's Batman 89, like, he's killing a bunch of motherfuckers.
Of course he is, but I mean, it's just so fucking funny.
That's all Batman's doing. Batman's a murderer.
Yeah, he is.
he's just a mad murderer. But, there's just so much, like, filthy stuff, too. Like, just stuff that's, like, it's very, like, you know, obviously Batman Returns is like, oh my God, this is Batman Returns. We're going to take the kids to see it. But there was just moments where like, I mean, flat out, the penguin's just like, I'm going to fuck, you know.
The penguin's going to fuck. He's talking about how he wants to like.
He's talking about doing flipper tricks and stuff. And like,
and I mean, he's talking about groping people. Like,
that's what I'm saying. He's like, grope. And he's like, he literally says like, I want to grope people. And I'm like.
Groping. And just like the way Danny DeVito just relishes that sort of shit is so amazing.
Yeah. Which
but there's also that part with like Batman. So Bruce and Selina on the fucking dance floor dancing. When I totally forgot about this till like last time I saw the movie. She asks him to go fuck on like a mattress because they're in a department store.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're gonna go fuck in the bedroom department.
The fucking bed department. She's like, there's a mattress, and then he says something to her, and I can't remember what he says. Something like, it's not easy. Something something, and she like rubs up against him, and she's like, oh, it's semi hard, I'd say. And I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about in this movie?
Oh yeah, I mean,
I love this movie so much.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
About Batman's half-hard dick.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And this movie ends with Batman becoming a cat owner.
It sure does.
It just because
exactly
at the end,
how this
at the end, you
is.
Know, when you know all the shit goes down and Catwoman, you know, who apparently this one obviously she's revived by cats.
Yes.
And then that gives her the properties of a cat, which includes having 9 lives.
Yes.
Or just, you know, she's invincible. She has 9 hits.
Yes.
You know, and so she gets away at the end.
Yep.
And, Batman and Alfred are driving through the Gotham or whatever, Bruce Wayne or whatever. And he thinks he sees Selina, and he goes out there, and then he just sees like a black cat. He just picks it up, just walks in the car.
Yeah.
And Alfred's like, Merry Christmas, Mr. Wayne.
And that cat is so awesome too, because that cat, like, so it's like the shot at the end is he's sitting in the back of the car of this Rolls.
Yeah.
as Alfred drives him around, and he's holding this cat, and it's all dark except for Michael Keaton's face and these two green eyes of this cat. And this cat is just, he's not looking away. He's looking right towards the camera, or like a little bit off to the side. Like, this cat knows where to how to find his light. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, good cat actor.
It's a good cat actor. I was like, oh, look at that cat.
Yeah. And also, somebody at whatever the pet place. Yeah. Hollywood Pets or whatever.
Yeah.
They definitely earned their paycheck.
They really did.
Somebody saw that cat and it's like, let's get we need that person for our cat, whatever movie we're doing that has cats in it. Fucking Pet Cemetery or whatever.
Yeah.
Pet Cemetery 2.
Sure.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, that movie's pretty great.
Yeah.
And I
also just want to give a quick shout out to the suits Christopher Walken wears in that movie.
Okay.
Because they're, I don't know if you've noticed, they're fucking ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
No, talk about
camp.
Well,
I mean, just look at him in general.
Well, him, Christopher Walken in general, with that, like, white hair. It's, like, all blown, like, he's got that, like, shock of white hair blown back. But he's wearing, like, this, it's a pinstripe suit, but it's not, like, a normal pinstripe suit. It's, like, got these huge stripes down it.
Right.
And it's just, the suits are amazing. They're just so tacky.
Yeah, there's that movie does everything great.
It really does.
I don't know why it didn't win all the awards.
I don't remember if it won any awards at all, but I love it. It is a classic. I personally think it's better than Batman 89.
I can see why. Yeah,
I mean
Batman 89 is pretty great.
Batman 89 is great, but I'm super biased because you know I love Catwoman.
Yeah,
so but this give me Catwoman and Batman together, and I'm so happy.
Well, I just say we watched it, and I was just like, this is awesome. Yeah, like I'm really enjoying this movie now.
Yeah, no, I love this movie. So that's there, and then we are gonna go see next week sometime Batman Forever.
Uh huh.
I know people say that movie sucks. I do have a soft spot in my heart for that movie.
Well,
I think it's the first Batman movie I ever saw in the theater.
Well, I'm excited because this one has that scene in it that we always kind of reference when we're just talking about
Batman. Yeah.
Because there's a scene I don't know who it is, just some random extra or whatever.
Yeah, and they're at a party where Batman like busts through like a ceiling.
He busts through a ceiling and just some guy in glasses looks up and goes, Batman!
That's right.
I swear to God, it's exactly like that.
Yes, he does it. It's amazing. And he just looks up and he points. But the way he says it, like that guy earned his SAG card for going, Batman!
Like it's such like a kid. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like the time
45-year-old man. It's amazing.
It's like that thing where I walked in and I remember I think we talked about this before, but when we were at that DC exhibit.
Yeah.
And I think I got
at the Warner Brothers.
I walk in. I think I was walking with you. And
yep.
We walk in, and I just like it has Aquaman stuff. And I go Aquaman, you know, or whatever. Just because I'm, you know, whatever, just being stupid. And this girl that's working at the door, she's like, "Yes, Aquaman is here." And I'm like, "Oh God."
She probably thought that you were special.
Oh, well, I am.
Yeah,
I'm special in my own way.
In your own, but I mean, like, you know, she thought you were really special. You were so excited to see Aquaman.
Hey, I was.
I know.
It was a good exhibit.
It
I was excited.
A good exhibit.
There's
it
some good stuff there.
So.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, had you know, that's it. That's I got the inspiration from this. I kind of do that because we kind of do that now.
Yes,
we haven't seen that because the guy's just literally just like Batman. Go back and watch Batman Forever.
When we noticed that the last time that we watched Batman Forever, I think we rewound it like 5 times.
Yeah, no, it was something
where we were like, wait, what?
It was like, wait, did that just happen?
And it did. And it's so good.
Also, Batman Forever has Kiss from a Rose, right? I always
it
get that
sure
mixed up.
Does. Okay, yes, good. It does. It has Kiss from a Rose. I mean,
probably the best Batman soundtrack.
That is such a good Batman soundtrack. It has my favorite U2 song on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of all time.
Hold me, kiss me,
kill me, thrill me, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That song's fucking great. It's so good. I mean, it's not Batman Returns fucking throwing Susie and the Banshees at you.
Yeah.
But I will fucking take it.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch this one again because now it's like you're sitting in the movie theater and you can really soak it in. I think that's something where the advantage is coming from,
mm-hmm.
of being able to sit there and just be like, oh man, I'm really enjoying it. Like I'm not, because at home we can watch it, but we're not completely engrossed because we have, you know, all sorts of stuff around us. But you're in the theater, who knows? You know, yeah. you might find some nuances in this film that, you know, are just fun. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, I guess the only other thing I wanted to bring up was so we were in Fort Collins the other day, and we were out, it was the same day as Free Comic Book Day. Yeah. We did not partake this time out, which is fine because Free Comic Book Day is it's a lot of work.
Well, you know? here's the thing: we were up in Fort Collins because I had like a writing conference to go to, and that's actually why we didn't get to see Batman 89 because it was the same day. But anyway, so I went to the writing conference, whatever. We left and we decided to swing by that like comic book store / coffee shop. We got to the parking lot, which number one is like an LA parking lot because it's like so fucking small for like a billion businesses. And we find a spot and there's just a fucking line. And it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's a line out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
no,
I don't have the patience for this today.
No, I certainly did not.
So we did not partake in Free Comic Book Day.
Well, I mean, we've been to that store before, and yep. You know, it's a cool place. You know, it's a Griffin Comics and Game or Griffin Books or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. But there's, you know, it was just like I just saw the people, and there's, you know, kids, and there's like for some
reason I didn't even know what was going on either, because it was like there was the store at one corner, but there were like two tents.
Yeah, the tents were like separated.
But they were like separated. So one of them was like all the way almost to like the street.
Yeah.
Where it was like they had a DJ, but they were like dudes just handing out like sheets.
Yeah, for like cosplay or something. It was like a cosplay.
So you could like tie them around. Yeah, it was like make your own cape. And like kids were just like tying them around their necks and then walking around with these like ripped up sheet capes.
Yeah.
And then there was another tent that had like a juggler.
Oh, I missed the juggler.
I feel like there was something else going on at that other tent, and I feel like it was a juggler. And then there was the store, and I was like, but are these all together? Because they were so separate and in front of like different, I don't know.
Yeah, it was confusing. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So we did go in. I wanted to go in there because I wanted to go to Gorehound's Playground, which is a horror-based, primarily horror
video store. Yep.
That the owner definitely also he has lots of comics.
Yeah, and he has a lot of action.
He has like this shelf of action figures, which I purchased a Marvel Legends Wonder Man.
Yes.
That I did not have.
Yes.
But I was very and this guy's pretty cool, you know, and he's got a lot of cool stuff that you can rent and.
Well, he also just
buy.
Has like a really cool thing. Like in the back, he's got a bunch of couches.
Well, because they screen movies there.
Which that's great.
And
we'd like to do that one day.
We're gonna do that. We got up a little bit late the other time to go see it, but yeah. I want to go over there because there's some. He definitely busts out some cool stuff because I follow him on Instagram. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, we also got to go to a Second and Charles in Fort Collins. I believe this is a newer one.
Yes.
That's been out there. And I just, you know, it didn't have as much in terms of trades that I'm used to seeing in those stores. But it was pretty good because I managed to pick up some stuff that I didn't have. Actually, I found there was an Orion trade that I wanted that I found. And then I also picked up Captain America Deathlock Lives, like it's an out of print trade that I didn't expect to find, but it was there. And because it's pretty expensive to find it, you know, outside of the, you know, like online, but you know, it was only like $10 at the store. I was like, well, I'm buying those,
right?
You know, and then I got a Death of Superman, the original DC trade, you know, that has you know, all those issues in there. And I was like, I figured I just need that. So,
yeah.
And then I got some other stuff the week before too, at the one in Littleton. I picked up a few books from there. I picked up the Fantastic Four Masterworks that has the first appearance of Adam Warlock, because I've always wanted that comic, but I don't want to actually buy the comic.
Sure.
So, you know, and there's a few other things I got. So, but yeah, I've been going trade crazy.
I know.
Trade crazy. I've been even reading this one that I'm looking at right here. And it's pretty fun, and I'm actually looking forward to finishing this. It's Superman versus Mongol, and it collects a bunch of DC Comics Presents, which feature Mongol in it. and which is great because I want to collect DC Comic Presents, but I don't want to buy all the issues. Sure. So I got a bunch of trades with that. But this was just fun because, you know, Superman's such a dumbass. Martian Manhunter in the one is just like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So it's pretty great. But yeah, so yeah, no, I've been messing around. We got to mess around in that store a little bit. So yeah, that was cool. Well, all right, folks, let's take a break and we'll come back with our book for this week.
For years, the Fire and Water Podcast Network has found its joy talking about comics. From Aquaman and Firestorm to Batman and Plastic Man. From giant treasuries to pocket-sized digests. From massive miniseries events to singular one-shot adventures. From romance to horror to whatever the hell Ohamu or not is. In the last year, they've begun to carve a path through their favorite television shows, such as MASH, Cheers, and Justice League Unlimited, and there's no sign of them stopping. What medium will Fire and Water conquer next? Introducing Fire and Water Records, the music anthology podcast from the Fire and Water Network. Find your joy in all new ways as members of the Fire and Water Network and their friends discuss favorite songs, albums, concerts, and artists.
Hang on, I've been doing a music show for 2 years.
Featuring Record Revolution.
Join the Brothers Daily as we catalog the essential years that shaped popular music and our own lives.
A Very Daily Christmas.
An annual celebration of our favorite holiday tracks.
Plus, all new episodes of Zoom for Sam.
The show in which I share my joy of Samantha Fox by spotlighting a single every single episode.
And Pod Dylan.
No, not Pod Dylan. We discussed this. That's staying on its own feed.
Not Pod Dylan, but everything else I said. Plus, so much more. There's even a chance David Ace Gutierrez will show up.
Which brings us back to Fastball, which is really one of the most interesting American bands in the world today. When you think about the number of side projects and solo projects associated with the band, it actually almost outdoes.
Fire and Water Records, a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 16 from October 1956. And we're using the Superman fan show, I'm sorry, Showcase Presents.
DC Showcase Presents.
DC Showcase Presents Superman Family Volume 1.
Yep.
So we're...
I got this one. And this was actually surprisingly cheap. I mean, there's no color in it.
Well, did we get this? Wait, did we?
I bought this at
Mile High.
Mile High.
Wasn't it discounted?
I think it was. I think there was like a 20% discount or something. I don't remember, but it was cheap. There's no color in it, but I'm going to use it as coloring book.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, you definitely
why
can.
Why not?
You can make up your own colors here. So
it's a huge one. There's like five volumes of this freaking thing.
Yeah. Well, this one in particular, this one collects.
All sorts of shit.
Okay, so this one collects the Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen numbers 1 through 22.
Okay.
Showcase number 9 and Superman number 28. And it promotes having the first ever Lois Lane solo story ever.
Oh man.
Although it's primarily Jimmy Olsen's. Yeah, this is good stuff. So on the cover here, Superman is flying into the frame, and it says Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen featuring the Boy of Steel. And as Superman's flying into the frame, a piece of rock is falling on Jimmy's head, and Jimmy is like, "Don't worry, Superman, you don't have to rescue me you don't have to rescue me anymore because I'm invulnerable." And he's just having a rock break on his head while some other guy's like, "Watch out for that rock."
Now, my question is, because they're calling him the Boy of Steel,
mm-hmm. Boy,
which is really what they call Superboy.
Uh-huh.
So this must be pre-Superboy.
What year did I say this was?
1959?
It might be.
Because he does mention it later in the book where he's like, "There'll never be, there's just me, Superman, no Boys of Steel," or whatever.
Yeah, no, you're right. That might make sense, yeah. Yeah, and then the next month they were like, "Here's another Boy of Steel." And Superman's like, "Fuck!" And
he's like, "It's me when I was young.
When I was a boy."
So we want to get popular with the youth.
In this issue, details an entry blank for a giant 5,000 prize contest.
5,000 prize?
5,000.
We don't know what's 5,000 prize?
I think it's there's 5,000 prizes.
Oh, 5,000 prize contest. I thought we were talking about, like, if you win, you just get 5,000. But it's not going to tell you of what. Hmm. Could be $5,000. Could be 5,000 cotton balls. They don't tell you.
Here's 5,000 pencil erasers.
You think it could be?
You dummy.
Yeah.
This is what you get for reading 5,000
of the same comic book.
No. 5,000 of Jimmy Olsen getting hit by a rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Back in the day, you'd be like, well, I don't have 5,000 of this. But if you held on to them, you might be rich.
Sure.
Well, not really. I bet this issue probably goes for like a couple $100s.
I think if it was graded properly, maybe.
Yeah, it'd have to be in like perfect condition.
It has to be in perfect condition, yeah.
Anyways, so Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, we start
and
off.
And this is another one of they did this a lot back then, where like the cover doesn't match the first story.
No, because there's three different stories in here. And we start off with the three lives of Jimmy Olsen. And basically what goes on here is... Jimmy is go ahead.
Well, first, for some fucking reason, because it's the fucking 1959, Clark and Jimmy are like in the newspaper office, and for some reason, a science laboratory,
right,
has given a fuck ton of radium worth $25,000. To a bunch of reporters, so those reporters can then distribute it to what, like research facilities and shit?
So basically, they're sitting there and they're like, wow, look at all this fucking radium in a lead box. And they're like, it's this radium's like $25,000. And Superman's like, yeah, it's pretty generous of the Radium Institute to give them to the Daily Planet.
Yes.
And ask us to distribute them to hospitals. Why would the Radium Institute do that? The people that know the most about radium.
Why would they give it to a bunch of reporters to distribute it to hospitals? Why wouldn't they just distribute it themselves?
Right? That's the first thing I thought of.
It's 1959.
Like, oh, hey,
Maybe this made sense in 1959.
Hey, boy reporter and frail man, because everybody looks at, you know, Clark as being a wimp.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, why don't you go and distribute this highly radioactive element to hospitals?
I just think even these books really lean into it. Like, we don't really see it that much anymore, but especially back then, leaning into what a wimp Clark is.
Yeah.
All the time talking about how sickly he is and how frail he is and blah, blah, blah. Motherfucker still looks like Superman.
Yeah. He's still built like Superman. He's still square jawed. He's still just a hardy man.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what a wimp.
That's the thing. That's like, it's like, yeah, he might be like nerdy or whatever, but he's like, even like when Christopher Reeve was Superman.
Yeah.
And he did a really good convincing Clark Kent.
Well, look, you could be a big awkward man. I mean, look at Pete Holmes.
Yes. I mean, but that's the thing.
Pete Holmes for Superman.
Right. But he still leaned into that I'm a big awkward man thing.
Right.
But he was still
Christopher Reeve.
He was still Christopher Reeve.
He was still a hunk of a man.
He was still just as, you know, square jawed and good looking. That's like when Henry Cavill's like wearing glasses and like, you know, you still look like Henry Cavill, right? Like, are you aware of that? Did anybody tell you you still look like fucking Henry Cavill?
Hi, I'm here to work as a frail man here to work in this newspaper office.
Look at me, nerdy, dorky everyman. Oh, by the way, I just happen to look like one of the most handsome men on the fucking planet.
But I'm wearing glasses.
It's a she's all that situation.
Excuse me, I'm on sports.
Right about sports ball.
Clark, you're on sports. I just yelled at my reporters.
Yeah.
Do that.
There's no reporters who have specialized in these areas. Fuck it, everybody's assigned.
Nobody's learning one thing anymore in the journalism business.
Nope.
Everybody just knows everything. That's when you go to journalism school. You learn how to do sports. Yep. You learn how to do obituaries.
There's
you
no
learn s- how to do
You do actually learn how to
bridge
do
bridge club. You know, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Well, so. you do. We had to learn how to write them. But
Clark, you're on obits.
But usually that's what, like, you come in and do. But you develop a beat.
Right.
Typically. And it's like, oh, you're the crime reporter. So you get to know the cops. And you
or
get
you're
to
a sports guy.
Or you're the sports guy. And you write about sports. And you get to know the teams. And you have sources. They just fucking throw you in there every day for, like, no reason. They're just like, you know what? Today, you're this.
Right.
You know,
now that drove me nuts in that movie. Yeah. Anyway, so Jimmy and Clark go out in the street.
And Clark's like, I'm gonna go do news.
Well, that's Jimmy, what they literally.
Jimmy's like, I am also gonna go do news.
Clark's like, I gotta go check with the hospitals and see which ones need this radium. It's like, that shouldn't be your job.
No,
you're a fucking reporter. No. Why are you checking? Why are you being like, hey, I've got a bunch of radioactive shit in this office. You know, it's in lead. Yeah, it's in the safe and everything like that. But, you know, it probably shouldn't be there because we're fucking reporters.
Yeah.
I keep my lunch in that safe.
The lunch safe?
I keep my lunch.
Are you keeping it in there so fucking Perry doesn't steal your PB&J?
Perry's
or
like.
Fluffernutter sandwich. Perry's like fucking this. 1959.
Perry is like, this cold Arby's is totally radioactive.
Cold Arby's.
Cold Arby's. So, anyway, they go on the street. Jimmy gets
Cold Arby's is radioactive, like even today.
I think that maybe there's nothing but cold Arby's in there.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of cold gelatinous.
Go get this to hospitals. And you're like, oh, no, hospitals don't want this. Eating this is the way how you end up in a hospital.
Yeah, right. So, Jimmy gets accosted by a guy dressed like a swami.
Oh.
And the guy's like, hey, man.
This is another very, like, 1959 where it's just, like, some dude's like, I'm a swami. Look at my turban. And you're like.
So stupid fucking Jimmy. So
well, see, again, it's this is what I mean by it. These comics are so weird. Everybody was so much more trusting back then, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, they didn't have forensic files on 24 hours a day where you could just see what happens to you when some random fuck walks up to you on the street and goes, hey, you want to come with me?
We don't talk to anybody.
Right. Anymore. We don't talk to anybody. Or we do not open the door for people we do not know because there are.
That was like the time when I was in Boston and I was walking across the street. I was on one side of the street and another guy's on the other side of the street. And some guy yells. We're walking in opposite directions, but we're on the opposite side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy yells at me. Some guy across the street yells at me, asking me where I'm going, where to get to somewhere. I forgot where he was asking, but it was obviously somewhere. It was like really close. He's like, hey, man, where are you going? Or whatever. And I had, you know, I just made like I had my headphones in. And he's like, you fucking coward. You won't talk to me. I'm like, bro, you're across the street yelling at somebody to ask for directions. And you're coming right out of the train station.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what more you want from me. Like, you think that I'm just going to randomly, you know, walk over to you? I mean,
I know.
God damn it. I hate people.
I know.
Anyways.
This is, we do not speak to people, but Jimmy,
just the like, dunderhead.
Oh, the swami's like, hey, you look like Jimmy Olsen. I bet I know you from a past life. Why don't you come with me and I'll strap you into my weird fucking contraption where I'll show you your past lives. And Jimmy's like, cool. Jimmy, I got nothing else to do.
He goes, what if I got to lose? And I'm like, Jimmy, you literally walked out of the building to be like, hey, I need to go do my job and find news because I'm Jimmy Olsen and I work for the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And you literally run into a guy. You walk a few blocks and you run into a guy that's like, hey, I know about past lives. You want to come see him? And he's like, you're like, sure.
Yeah.
And then this guy puts a helmet on that pummels your brain with gamma radiation.
Yeah.
So not only are you immediately put your life in danger.
How Jimmy Olsen is not dead?
He's like, hey, I got this helmet that shoots gamma rays, and it's like, I'd be like, no, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. But back then, everybody's like, oh, radiation is cool, and you're like, no, radiation is bad. And so Jimmy now views his past lives. So he views, and this is what's very funny about these Jimmy Olsen things, is when he views his past lives, which one of them is in Egypt, one of them is
in Greece.
Ancient Greece, and then the other one is, he's a Viking.
Yeah.
So in every single one of these, he is a small weakling who is still a news reporter. So he's going to go get news for like the, what's it called? The petroglyph or whatever.
Well, he's trying to find it. So he's in for, okay. So the first thing is he's in Yeah, he works for the Weekly Hieroglyphic.
That's
and they're like, hey, go find this pyramid thief. And he's like, okay, fine, I'm going to go take a camel. And then he's like,
I got to go ask my strong friend for help. This happens in every one of these stories.
And so in each one, he's like, in this one, he has a horn.
Which moves. He summons Cowman. Cowman.
And he's like, moo! But he summons Samson. He's like, hey, let's go wreck this temple, because I think the guy's hiding in here. He's supposed to find this guy.
Yeah, he's just supposed to find news. And like every single time something exciting is going to happen, it like cuts to another past life. So then his second past life, he's in ancient Greece. He's got to go get news for the scroll.
Uh-huh.
And what does he do? He calls his buddy Hercules, who uh-huh. then like wrestles a lion. And I'm not going to lie, this panel up here at the top where he's wrestling a lion Hercules goes to grab him and he says, I'll subdue this pussycat for you, Jimus.
Jimus.
I honestly did not read the cat.
Yeah, I thought...
just said, I will subdue this pussy for you. And I was that's a weird way to say that. Like,
is this Batman Returns?
What? It's pretty sexy. Like, could you imagine just walking up to somebody and being like, hey, you want to subdue my pussy?
He also says here, did you miss this part here? Oh. You're terrific, Hercules. I'll tie him up with these thongs.
Oh, we're tying pussies up with thongs?
This is like a video you find on Pornhub.
Well, actually, this is how Cisco's The Thong Song was written. he saw this and he was like, you know what? I'm going to write a song about thongs. It's like, and pussies.
You know what? This really old Jimmy Olsen comic inspires me.
I'm Cisco.
I keep this. I keep a bunch of really old comics. I bought them all with my Drew Hill money.
Well, what is Cisco doing these days?
I don't know. Maybe reading this book to find another hit.
Yeah, probably.
He's just going through and just being like, I need inspiration.
Yeah. So now he's a Viking and he's got to go find something like a fjord.
Well, I want to point out real quick, this is why I got a little bit distracted here, because what happens is basically like these fantasies, these past lives he's experiencing, these scenarios go up to a certain point
and then they stop.
And then they stop. And he's like, yo, Swami, what's up with the... I want to see the end of this. And the guy's like, yeah, well, the machine can only go up to like a certain part. It only does a short enough episode, so we have to keep going to the past. Right. And now here you're a Viking, and then...
You got to call your buddy Thor.
Uh-huh.
So the strong buddy in this one is Thor. And you're going to do a thing. And Thor like breaks the thing with his hammer, and then Jimmy like... was like, hey, I wanted to see how this ends. Oh my God, I'm never going to know. And the guy's like, well, actually, my cool machine runs on radium. And like, if you've got any, maybe I could use some. And
how does this guy know? This guy just saw him. I mean, obviously he knows, but it's like, he's just like, man, I wish I had more radium. And he's like, do you know of any radium?
And Jimmy's like, I might know some radium. He's like, well, if you want to know the end of this story, you'll get me some radium. Anyway, have a good day. And so Jimmy goes to the planet office and he like, grabs the radium. And of course, like, Clark's home in his apartment, but he's like x-ray visioning.
Well, Jimmy, this is the thing, and this happens actually in this Mongol book.
Yeah.
Where Clark just looks out his window, like outside of a wall in his apartment,
mm-hmm.
and is able to see the whole city and to see anything. And that's what he's doing here.
Does he just sit there and just stare out his wall, like instead of watching TV? Because it looks like he's reading.
Well, yeah, it looks like he's enjoying a night at home. And then he's just like, you know what? I feel like he doesn't have telepathy, so he doesn't know what's going on. But
so he just happens to be looking at this at the right time.
And he just happens to use that ability, because I can't imagine that any time he's looking ahead, he's not looking through something.
Right.
Because... That sucks.
I don't even know how you would function.
Right?
Yeah.
Gotta make the world small.
Yeah. Make it small.
Make it small. So, because that's the thing. Because in this Mongol book, like, Jimmy and Lois get captured by Mongol, and Superman's in his apartment, and he just looks around like in from his apartment. He goes, "Well, they're not in the city because I looked through the whole city from my apartment." I'm like, "What the fuck?" And then he's doing it right here, and it's ridiculous.
So he sees this, he's like, "Oh no!" And then he also sees. So not only does he see like Jimmy pull out the radium, he sees him go to the Swami's place, and he's like, "I gotta hurry up and get there." So he changes into his costume. He shows up, and he's like, "No, Jimmy, you don't understand. This whole thing has just been a scam. And what happens is he's just like hypnotizing you to fall asleep." And that's why there's no ending.
Yeah.
So they arrest this guy. And
that's pretty much it.
Well, my favorite part here.
Oh, is this the part at the end?
Uh-huh.
Where Superman's sitting there like, well.
No. It's where he asks Superman. He goes, "Superman, how did you know that?" And Superman is like, And it's actually written into the text where he's like, I just knew.
I just knew he was after this radium, random guy.
It's right here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't guess, Jimmy. I knew he was after the radium, but I can't explain for a special reason.
Yeah.
Because I'm a prick.
Mystery reason.
I'm a dipshit.
And people are like, "That's a good reason, Superman." And you're like, "That's not a fucking good reason."
You know what? This is a good enough explanation for me. This alien does not want to that we trust with a lot of responsibility is like, "Yeah, I don't want to tell you why I knew this guy needed radium." Because that would be,
special helpful. Reason.
That'd be great, if, I could, because that'd be great if Clark could just, or Superman could tell people, it's like, "I think I know that guy needs radium.
Yeah.
Because you could, you could stop a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
Nope. He's just sitting at home, just like, "Oh, I don't want to tell anybody." So, yeah. But, and then Superman wonders if he was,
Well, he's like, "The reason that I knew life. Is because the guy tried to get me to, like, do the past life."
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, "But I wouldn't have past lives on Earth because I'm from Krypton." And I'm like, "Is there a rule that says you can't have past lives from on another planet?"
I don't know. He's
I don't know how past lives work.
Being an alien.
Yeah, whatever. So that's the end of that.
That's the end of that one. So now we get on to the cover story, The Boy of Steel.
Uh-huh.
And so basically, okay, so one day Lois is like,
she's like, "Hey, I'm going to give Jimmy this coffee," as he's writing his story.
No, cocoa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jimmy's cocoa. He can't handle coffee.
Well, geez, we'll talk about it when we get there. But for the fact that he can't handle coffee, there's somebody smoking a goddamn cigarette in this comic book. I don't know where it comes from. Okay, well, we'll talk about it. So Lois is like, gonna give him the steaming hot cocoa. And she's like, "Oops, tripped." And she dumps it on him. And he doesn't even fucking notice.
See, this is what
he
I understand.
He doesn't even notice that it's wet.
Right, that's what I understand. It's like, wait, so he couldn't. Well, I understand why he couldn't feel that it was wet.
Or you mean hot?
Or hot.
Yeah, it didn't burn him.
Why it didn't burn him. Yes. But also, here's the thing. I understand because ultimately it's not that he's got, superpowers. He's just got, he's got a field around him. Spoiler alert. He's got some sort of
radiation.
Radiation field around him that allows
him to. Again, radiation is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's any reason for us to be scared of radiation, it's this comic.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand how he doesn't feel like he's not sitting there as a typewriter because he's typing a story. It's like, how do you not feel your not feel your fingers not feeling the keys?
I don't know.
Because you're just sitting there going type, that doesn't bother you. But, and obviously, that doesn't alarm you.
Right.
But then, Lois spills some hot coffee or hot cocoa on him, and he doesn't even sell the fact that it's wet.
Right.
And, or the fact that, I don't even know if he gets wet.
I don't even know. He doesn't feel anything. So he's writing a story called "I Witnessed an Atomic Bomb,"
yep.
Which is hilarious.
I saw a nuclear explosion.
That's it. I saw a nuclear explosion. And, like, if that was written today, it would be like, "The 15 faces I made when I saw a nuclear explosion."
This is definitely a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah. So then Lois is like, "Yeah, that was weird that he didn't feel anything. I'm going to try to cut his hair."
Yeah, Lois just
goes
ham.
Because that's just fucking something you do to your colleague. So she walks up behind him and just like tries to cut his hair and it doesn't work. She's like, "Oh my god, it doesn't work."
So then she fucking,
"Oh my god, he's invincible. I better go tell Clark."
Well, no, not only does she not try to cut his hair and it doesn't work, she takes off her shoe and hits him in the back of the head with the shoe.
And it doesn't do anything. So she's like, "Oh my god, I gotta talk to Clark."
I just like the idea that somebody's watching, like, there's not, because apparently in the Daily Planet, there's nobody else there except for Lois Clark and
Jimmy. Okay.
And nobody's watching, and yet people are just, nobody sees Lois take off her shoe and just fucking hit Jimmy with it.
Like, hard.
You know, and Jimmy doesn't even sense, though, that, like, somebody's behind
right,
him.
Right, and there's no wind from, like,
the. No commotion?
Nothing. And so he doesn't notice anything, and then he's like. She's like, I gotta go tell Clark. So Clark is sitting there and he's got 1 foot like propped up on his trash can.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, he's invincible. And Clark's like, what? And so as this is happening, and I don't know whose hand this is, a cigarette, somebody has a cigarette in their hand. It looks like a man.
Well, oh.
And the ash drops, like the cherry of it drops off into the waste paper basket where Clark's foot is. So I don't know if this is just a dude walking by.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, did Jimmy walk in and set this on fire? Was Lois smoking?
There. It looks like a man, so it's not Lois.
Maybe it's Steve Lombard.
I was like, is Clark smoking? Like,
yeah, right?
Because I'm like, I don't know what other explanation I can find for this, because it's like such a weird panel. It just shows the trash can and the arm with the cigarette, in the hand with the cigarette in it.
Yeah.
So who it belongs to, we don't know.
Well, anyways, this whole fucking office goes up in flames, or at least this garbage can does.
And of course Clark's like, I don't feel it.
You know, but Lois is like, oh no, well you don't feel it, and Jimmy doesn't feel it, so what is...
You must have eaten those magic berries that Superman brought back from space or
whatever.
Right,
because we forgot to mention that. So Jimmy's sitting there reading the story, eating a bunch of these space berries.
Sure.
Superman does explain later that he tried them on mice, and the mice didn't die.
But
the mice also weren't invulnerable, so...
Right, he's like, oh, that doesn't work. And so he's like, huh... I better keep an eye on Jimmy. And so as that's happening, Jimmy's out on the street and he just happens to get hit by a car.
Well, this is really funny because fucking Jimmy. So this guy just flat out just runs into the back of Jimmy. Like Jimmy's just walking and this guy, like, because this guy's on the street.
This car launches Jimmy.
And like
he's airborne.
And Jimmy somehow, like, yeah, he just gets knocked straight into this telephone pole and it bends.
I think my favorite part is the guy going like, oh no, he'll have to go to the hospital. And I'm like, he'd have to go to the morgue.
Nah, man, he's going to the morgue and you're going to fucking Oz.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how this is ending.
Yep.
You're going to Bell Rev. Yeah, and so then Jimmy starts like stabbing himself with his nail file.
And
it bends.
I'm invincible. Oh my God, it must have been those cool berries I ate or whatever.
Yeah, and he's having a ball. He's throwing rocks on his head. And this is my favorite one. He's just about to saw his own foot off. He's like, and Superman's like, what the fuck? You know, but thankfully,
like, just because you're invulnerable, don't do that.
Yeah, but thankfully, there's a robbery going on.
Yeah.
So these two dummies, you know, go run. And they're, you know, Jimmy's like doing all this stuff to make sure that he's not, you know, that he's invincible or whatever, you know, everybody, and Superman can't, you know, understand it. But then he sees him at night and he walks through a shadow and he's glowing.
Right.
Which apparently Jimmy doesn't notice.
Yeah.
Jimmy's completely oblivious to the fact that he's glowing. And he's like, well, yeah, this is when I took him to the nuclear test, because Jesus fucking Christ. He's like, so he took him close enough to a nuclear test Jimmy's only wearing glasses.
Yeah. So Superman was like, to get your story, Jimmy, I will literally carry you to where this explosion is happening. And the only thing Jimmy's wearing is glasses to look at it. Like, so I had to do a report on the A-bomb like forever ago when I was in college or whatever. And I read this book on the building of it and you know, the story behind it being built and then what happened. And I will never forget that there's a scene in there where they drop the A-bomb on Japan.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't remember which one, if it was the first one or the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. But they're talking about how people were, like, turned to look at this huge explosion. And the flash was so bright that it literally melted their eyeballs out of their skull.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll never forget that image from this book. People's eye, like the flash being so bright, it literally melted their eyeballs. And Jimmy is just like, He's just basically got a pair of Oasis glasses on. Like, he borrowed, like, John Lennon glasses before John Lennon.
He's like, yo.
And he's just like, I'm fine. And I'm like, no.
Yo, let me grab my blue blockers.
No, this isn't good. This literally burns shadows into the fucking ground. What are you doing?
So he's carrying him, and he's like, Jimmy's like, oh man, this feels weird. It feels like a cloak has been throwing over me. I guess it's my imagination. It's like, no, you watched a fucking bomb.
Yeah, you should be dead.
And
right
your
now.
Dumb alien friend is like, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, sure. And that's when Clark is like, oh, that's the problem. And so Lois is like, well, I want to be invincible too. So I'm going to eat these berries, and then I'm going to stab myself with this pin. And Clark's like, oh, I better, like, with my x-ray vision, which I don't know how this works. With my x-ray vision, I'm going to weaken the pin.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't hurt herself.
Doesn't hurt herself, but she's like.
At the same time, I'm like, how did your x-ray vision do that?
He melts. I think it's supposed to be maybe his eye beams, like his heat vision.
But he says x-ray. He specifically says x-ray. Well,
he doesn't know what he's doing.
So she's like, haha, I'm invincible too. I'm going to go out and hopefully get hit by a car just like Jimmy did. And so there's like a robbery and a car flipped over, and like both Lois and Jimmy are going to go help people because it's like an explosion.
I don't understand why the cops are just like,
letting these
two random pedestrians go up to this thing and be like, I can do it. No, you can't.
And it's like a fucking explosion mobile. That's when Superman shows up. And
Superman shows up and he pulls them off, and they're like, Superman, we're invulnerable. You didn't have to stop us. And he's like, look, you're not invulnerable. And he steps on both their feet.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's right. He stomps on both of them to be like, hey, you guys can feel that.
It'd be funny if he just stomped at their feet and he just clearly stomps like their entire foot off, like just buries it through the ground. It's like,
flat.
He just shears it off at the ankle. So they have like a fucking stump.
No, they can get a prosthetic foot.
Oh, man.
I was just thinking, like, he stepped on it, and, like, he flattened to a degree that they have to wear one clown shoe.
Oh, no, Superman, my clown shoes. Whatever. So, and so this is where they're sitting there, like...
And they're like, oh, no, there's no more magic space berries. We'll never be...
Invulnerable
again. And that's when Superman is like, yep, no boy or girl of steel, and that's the way I like it.
Well, here's the thing. They don't call what's her face?
Lois.
Supergirl.
Yeah.
The Girl of Steel. I think they call her like the Maiden of Might or something.
They do eventually call her the Girl of Steel.
Oh, do they? Okay.
I think later on. Because I think you're right at the beginning, but pretty sure time goes on, she becomes the Girl of Steel.
All right. Well, we're at the last story of this boobery.
Yes.
The Super Liar of Metropolis.
This story does literally, the premise makes no sense.
No,
it's so fucking dumb. And I'm like, I realize you guys are just trying to fill pages, but holy fucking shit, this is stupid. So Jimmy is downstairs in the lobby buying candy, and he's literally thinking, just wanted to buy a candy. And he's like, wait, I hear someone talking about me. And there's a dude in a phone booth talking to somebody.
Is this guy shouting in the phone booth?
I'm assuming.
Because I can't, I mean, look, if you're in a phone booth,
you got a door.
Door's closed, you know, the guy, I mean, it's closed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the guy's like, God damn it, I gotta catch Jimmy.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta catch Jimmy Olsen because I bet he's Superman's pal. I bet Jimmy Olsen knows Superman's secret identity. And Jimmy's like, I don't know Superman's secret identity, but they're gonna question me for a long time. So in order to protect what I don't know, I am going to drink something that Superman pulled off a criminal a couple weeks ago that for some reason is not in police custody.
Right.
Called the Liar's Serum, which makes you lie. And I'm like, but you don't know the truth anyway.
Also,
what are you doing?
Also, if you know you're going to be captured, if you're going to be accosted by somebody leaving...
Call the police!
Call the goddamn police! Or call the security! Or the bellman! Have somebody walk... Get Lois or get Steve Lombard Or Perry White to walk you to your goddamn car.
Right.
Or walk you somewhere so you're not being chased by some fucking gangster.
First off, you're not getting abducted by somebody. But second off, you don't even know. What are you lying about? You don't know anything. They're going to question you whether or not you take that. Like, there's nothing to tell. Anyway, so he like drinks the serum and then...
He just goes on. He just, so,
it just basically makes him say the opposite of what he's thinking.
Yeah. Because you can't tell the truth no matter what.
This is,
you
know, this is the reverse liar liar.
Right. And so anytime, like, so instance, like, Lois is like, hey, I got these tickets to a baseball game. And he's like,
why would I waste my time?
And she's like, I'll give it to a copy boy. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I do.
And like, for some reason, some Hollywood starlet calls him. And she's like, hi, Jimmy. I'm a famous Hollywood starlet. And I heard you could show me around town. And he's like, no, that'd be gross. People pay me to haunt houses. I'm so ugly.
I actually like that line a lot. When he's like, yeah. Well, she's like, okay, she's like, okay. And I don't understand why, first of all, the starlet is calling him. But right? she literally says, this is Kitty DeVoe from Hollywood. You were recommended by my press agent. Why right? is your press agent calling him? That's what press agents are for.
Right?
If I know anything in working in podcasting, you don't get to talk to the person you want
you
to talk
to. Talent.
You don't talk to talent unless if you're friends with the fucking talent.
Right.
You know, it's very real occasion. But most of the time, you talk to a manager. You talk to a
talent. You talk to an agent.
Agent,
talk
PR.
To an assistant.
Assistant.
You are talking to so many other people. You're not fucking talking to talent. Why is talent calling? It should be the press agent should be calling Jimmy.
Hey, she deserved this.
She obviously does not have a press agent.
No, she
just
doesn't.
Pulled his name out of the phone book.
Yeah, she is not very bright, and
no.
She's just doing this. And so, but he's like, I look like a monster, and I haunt houses. And she's like, gracious, you're horrible. Goodbye. So Superman shows back up, and he's like, yeah, I was out of town. Jimmy, you know what's going on?
And Jimmy's like, the bridge is collapsing, which it's not. He's like, oh no, why am I lying to Superman? And Superman goes, but luckily some dude almost falls to his death and Superman gets to save him, so it wasn't a wasted trip.
Why did we have to do that at all? We
didn't have to do any of this. So then Jimmy gets abducted and he's like, haha, finally time to get abducted, time to lie to these people about the thing I don't even know.
I'm finally doing the thing that I could have easily avoided by calling the cops because I fear for my own goddamn safety.
If somebody's like gonna come up to me and be like, Jen, do you know this thing? If I don't know it, I don't know it. Why do I need to lie about not knowing it? I don't get it. It doesn't change the outcome of what Jimmy was eventually... I mean, the only reason we do this is so he can lie. And he's like, oh, I'll tell you who Superman is. It's Clark Kent. And he's
yeah.
like, good job, me. And I'm like, wait a second. You just told these dudes with guns that your friend, who you believe is just a regular average person, is Superman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they want mm-hmm. to kill Superman, so you're just like, eh, it's that guy I work with.
Yeah, it's my coworker. Go kill, yeah, he's,
more space in the fridge for me at lunch.
Yeah.
Go kill that guy.
He's always taking up the space in the fridge with his radioactive Arby's.
Yeah, you don't understand how many bags of Arby's this guy brings in.
Does Superman just eat?
It's a whole fridge full.
He just comes in, he's got like a backpack full of Arby's. Like, I want to imagine that's what Clark Kent, just, you know, proper Clark Kent, but he's also got like a knapsack full of Arby's.
Yeah.
And he's just like throwing it in the fridge. People are like, it's like he's always eating the beef and cheddars.
Yeah.
And they're cold. He doesn't heat them
they're
up.
Cold. They're just stuck together now.
Sometimes he puts
it's
the curly.
It's just like plastic.
Sometimes he puts the curly fries on there and just eats it all at once.
Oh.
I've seen him do it.
Ugh.
And sometimes he takes the horsey sauce and drinks that separately and then eats the sandwich.
No, don't stop. I don't know. I can't. So he gets captured and he's like, yeah, it's Clark Kent. Ha ha. I totally protected Superman's secret that I don't even know by blaming my friend.
By dooming my friend to death.
Right.
Well, because here's the thing. Not only is he's dooming his friend to death, but these guys... are like,
kill Superman.
They're like, you know what? Let's go kill him right now.
Yeah. So they go into the Daily Planet. They're like, they just walk in and they're like, hey, Clark Kent, we hear you're Superman. And they just open fire. and then, literally Jimmy caused the death of his friend for no fucking reason.
So,
other than to lie about something he doesn't know in the first place. So Superman's like, I better make it like the smoke be more. So he like blows on.
Well, no, what he does? No, what he does is he burns his his paper on his desk by the fan. So the smoke by the fan makes it seem so when the bullets are hitting him, they can't see that the bullets are hitting him.
Mm.
But he wants them to make them think, because the bullets are hitting him, they're bouncing off, obviously. But he wants to make it so it doesn't think, they think that the smoke is, yeah, they're hitting the fan or something.
Right.
Because these guys are literally aiming right at him, but somehow they're shooting something else. And so so everything goes to shit for these guys. And Jimmy uses a giant Atlas book to hit these guys in the hands with, you know, and he's like, all right, this is great, my truth serum is figured out, I can tell the truth now.
And
so these guys are like, and this is, again, this is where we're coming back to the whole weakling thing, because these guys are like, we should have known it wasn't Clark Kent. How could a weakling be him? He's ready to faint even if our bullets missed him. Yo, Clark Kent, your heart pumps Kool-Aid, you know, or whatever. So and so they're like, all right, Jimmy, good job. You know, you're trying to protect Jimmy's secret. Thanks for setting me up to be murdered.
Right.
And that's how this ends.
That's it.
That's how this incredibly stupid book ends. I love this story.
Oh, it's so good.
I need to read all these.
Oh, I definitely need to read all of them. They're ridiculously dumb.
I always forget, like, we own a lot of these and how much joy these bring.
They just don't even make any fucking sense half the time, but that's what I kind of love about them. So I would absolutely read the next one.
Well, the next issue, which is right next, is number 17. Mm-hmm. And this is the cover here. It says, Jimmy Olsen is glowing again. He's always glowing. And he's saying to Superman, and he goes, now that I'm doomed, Superman, won't you please grant me the last request to tell me your secret identity? And Clark's like, you know, and Superman's like, sure, Jimmy, I'm Clark Kent. Because apparently he becomes the radioactive boy, whole titted boobery. Mm-hmm. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 16 from October 1956. And yes, we will read all these stupid books.
Uh-huh.
I love all of them. Hang on, check this out. I just read this one here. We should have read this one. Oh, man, this sounds like a thing. In Superman's pal, number 22, The Mystery of the Millionaire Hobos. We missed the hobo story.
Oh man, maybe next time.
That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, folks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And of course, please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get this show. Please tell your friends about the podcast. That would really help us out. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.